Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have my longtime friend Paul Keller on my show today. During the show today, you'll hear about Paul's musical career with Hush, Emerson, Berry, and Palmer, the upcoming 3.2 tour, and you'll also get to hear some songs during the show. Welcome, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, I'm so, excuse me, excited to have you on the show. This is the first time I've had you on my show. I've had Robert on a bunch of times, and this is so cool to hear your perspective on the whole timeline of Hush and Emerson, Berry, Palmer and the upcoming tour. So I wanted to go with past, present, and future in the what we talk about today. Also, before we get going and forget to do it, I want to say a big thank you to Rolf for his Emerson, Berry, Palmer Facebook page, and also for the pictures of Hush and you that he sent me, and the song by Hush that he sent me to play during the show. And also say happy birthday to William Haney, who's the 3.2 page starter. And yeah, happy birthday, William. And also say hi to Ian and Ed Morgan and Dwayne Farrell. And who else do we need to say hi to before we get started?
Oh, everyone out there. Michael Sedello, he's a big supporter as well. And, my mom.
Yeah, your mom. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so first of all, let's start with the past. Past, present, future we're going to do. So Paul Keller, past. Start out with when you started playing guitar at age 14, and tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I was born and raised in the East Coast, born in Ohio, Western Ohio, probably fairly close to where Rolf lives now. Of course, Rolf would probably never want to visit the town that I was born in because it's not very fun anymore. But anyway, when I was 12, my dad was given the choice of either moving to Raleigh, North Carolina, or Los Angeles. And my brother, sister, and I all kind of heavily lobbied for Southern California. So we ended up in Los Angeles when I was starting the seventh grade. Within about a year, I had developed some close friendships with guys in the neighborhood, and almost all of them played an instrument. So they would invite me to their jam sessions at one of the guys' backyard. They had a Hawaiian themed backyard, and they called it, you know, hey, they'd call me up and say, hey, Keller, you want to come up for a freak out in the Tiki Hut? And so we'd go up there, and I'd watch them play, and I'd kind of learn from them. So I still have a close friendship with all of those guys, and still give them credit for kind of spurning my whole interest in playing the guitar.
That's so cool because, you know, you're right, the musical friendships, that's such a big part of it, and the fun that you can have together. And when you have fun together, then you have a reason to keep practicing, and if you keep practicing, you keep having more fun. So it kind of spirals. So then what happened next?
I ended up getting involved with a singer, a guitar player named Randy McKay in high school, and there was a woman named Tina Costanzo, who was a great singer, so the three of us formed like a folk trio, and, you know, kind of along the lines of Peter, Paul, and Mary, we called ourselves Randy, Paul, and Tina.
I love it.
And we played a lot of mostly non-paying things. We'd play at little coffee houses. We'd play charity things. We'd go to the Los Angeles County Hospital and play for the patients of the psychiatric ward. And that was really interesting because you'd have to go through several layers of locked doors before you could actually get in there because they were really the patients that needed to be highly protected.
High security, yeah.
But Yeah. So, and I graduated from high school fully thinking that I was going to stay in Southern California, and my dad suddenly comes home and says, hey, I'm moving up to Northern California. You know, you can either stay down here and go to college, or you can come up and live with us. And, you know, so I went up to Palo Alto for a week and kind of sussed out the area, decided, hey, Northern California is pretty cool. So I followed my folks up to Northern California, ended up living in Saratoga and going to De Anza College. And from there, I stayed in contact with my Los Angeles friends, who by then had evolved into electric guitar players, and they were, you know, sending me letters saying, you got to listen to this guy, you got to listen to this guy. So I started getting into Yes and Pink Floyd and bought myself an electric guitar. At that point, oh, go ahead.
Oh, and then what happened?
You know, at one point I decided, you know, hey, it might be fun playing in a band. So I used to hang out at Guitar Showcase. I'd drive down there and check out the instruments. I developed real kind of a close connection with one of the salespeople down there, Jack Van Breen, who's still around playing in the area, and I still believe he works at Guitar Showcase. And one day he walks up and he says, hey, there's some guys that are looking for a guitar player that I think you might be a good fit for. He tore off the little paper that was on their bulletin board and gave me the number. And I came home and I, you know, kind of tossed it about for a couple of days, you know, nervously made the phone call and set up an audition. Went up. They wanted me to play a number of songs. So we played Roundabout by Yes. That was one of the core pieces. The band was called Hush. And Robert Berry was the lead, was a keyboard player, singer. Gene Perrault was bass player, singer. Drummer named Mike Gimmick. Anyway, we went through a number of songs. Some I played fine on, some I really stumbled on. And I went home thinking, well, that was a good experience. I'm kind of proud of myself for like putting myself out there. And I went back to doing what I was doing. I was looking for a job, ended up getting a job at a record store thinking, you know, I really didn't give two thoughts about it. I thought, you know, there's a lot of other people that are probably more qualified for this gig than I am. And 5 weeks later, I get a phone call from Gene, and Gene says, you know, in Gene's typical way, he doesn't come right out and say things. He goes, so, Paul, this is Gene. How do you think you do? And I'm like, well, you know, it's been 5 weeks. I thought I had some, you know, kind of went through the whole self-evaluation. And I said, I figured you had more than enough time. And I thought it was a courtesy call saying, you know, you've chosen someone else. And he goes, well, so do you want to be in the band? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay, you're in. So that was kind of the whole start of it. And Hush stayed together, as you probably mentioned with Robert a couple of times, probably in 9 to 10 years at that point. They'd been together about a year before I joined, and we did a whole lot of stuff. We started off kind of as a cover band, playing a lot of, you know, current rock songs, plus a few progressive songs like Yes and Genesis and real challenging things. Through Robert and Gene's songwriting, we eventually developed into an original band and finally ended up breaking up the band in 1984 or 5.
Well, let's not go too far into that, because before we get too far into that, okay, so that was in the around the summer of 1974 that you auditioned for the band Hush, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and it's so funny because that's the same summer that I moved to that area and got my first job at Warehouse Records, and ended up meeting you there, and then ended up meeting Gene when I was signing up for classes at West Valley College, and then he ended up bringing Robert over and met him, and that's how I met the three of you, is through that. And then later I ended up moving over to Tower Records in Campbell when it opened. But yeah, music was like, just for me, the most awesome thing in the world, and I didn't believe I could do it because of my grandmother and what she had said when I was 12. She wanted me to be an artist, so she wanted me to major in art, and so I didn't think I could do that, but I just loved being able to hear you guys play. You guys were so awesome, and being able to go hear Robert recording down at Tiki Studio and watching all of it and standing in the shadows of all these people doing what I thought was just the most amazing thing in the world. And it's just, you know, from a fan and friend standpoint, I have to say you guys are, the band Hush is still one of my absolute favorites, and I want you guys to get the album on CD so that I can hear it in my car, because I have the vinyl, but, you know, I can't listen to that in the car, obviously. And I think this is a good time for me to play the Hush song that I have queued up. That is, and it's actually a great title for the song, too, for what we're talking about here, because it's called Ever Since the Beginning. It's about 2.5 minutes, and you said Gene was the one that wrote that and sings the lead in that, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to play that song, and then let's talk about that a little bit more, and then we can go on with the next part of your musical journey, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I love that song so much.
Thanks. That was probably one of the first things we recorded, and I listened back to that, and, you know, obviously I think, wow, I don't really like that guitar tone. But
you don't like the guitar in it?
No, I don't like the tone of the guitar. It's like, for years, Robert was, I think when I first joined, like I mentioned, I was really inexperienced, and I showed up with a Fender Telecaster and a Twin Reverb, and eventually started, you know, back then you couldn't really afford to buy new equipment. You had to sell something to buy things. So I would end up with a Les Paul and a Mesa Boogie amplifier, and Robert would always tell me when I brought that into the studio that, you know, he doesn't really like the tone when he's recording that amp. It's, you know, the mids are not really, they're not really rich. And he said, you just need a Les Paul and a Marshall. And eventually I ended up with a Les Paul and a Marshall, and I sold the Marshall anyway. So, you know, as you go through your musical life, obviously you become more attuned to what sounds you like to get out of an instrument, what pleases you. So, and everybody's quite different. But, you know, obviously these days I'm much more selective about the equipment I buy. So.
Well, I think you guys did an amazing job on that. You, whatever equipment you were using, the energy of it and the fun of it. And I remember that's one of the things about going to see Hush perform is that you guys were always having so much fun up on the stage that it was impossible not to have fun being in the audience.
It was a very fun group of people.
Yeah.
Especially Gene. Gene was always clowning around and...
No, I know. He was such a character with his Rod Stewart haircut. And I don't know if you even know this story, but he was the one that took me to see his hairdresser, Carmen. And I had long, one-length hair when I first started working at Warehouse. And he took me in and he goes, Carmen, chop it. All of a sudden, all my long blonde hair was on the floor and there was like this shag haircut. But my hair's so fine that it wouldn't stand up like his did.
Yeah, he always had the rooster thing going.
Mhm. Yeah. Oh my God. His hair was just so perfect for that kind of haircut. And then, yeah, I don't know. So many memories of all that, and so many fun times with you guys. And then.
Gene was.
Oh, go ahead. Tell me what you were going to say about
it. I was just going to mention Gene was, you know, in all the band photos, Gene was always so photogenic, and Robert as well. And, you know, I mean, you know, people in fields where they're having a lot of pictures taken, a lot of people, it's amazing to me how they can look so good in photographs all the time, and you know, you've got to assume that they really work at it. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I think there's a whole art around making yourself present well in front of a camera.
Yeah, is that why Robert talked you into getting your hair permed?
Oh, is that why I did it? My wife has this old photo that's probably, you know, 11 by 18. And
mm-hmm.
it's just me probably within a week after you gave me that perm. And and I just remember it was still so radical. It eventually kind of loosened up as you said it would. But,
right. It always
does.
Especially with really fine hair like you have, you know, it loses a lot of the curl after the first few days or week or so. But, yeah, I used to love cutting your hair and Robert's hair. And I think probably in that promo picture that's in the slideshow, I probably had cut his hair and yours also for that one.
Yeah, that's Robert doesn't know it yet, but I'm planning on doing that for the 3.2 tour.
Oh, perming it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't still do perms.
I stopped doing that in the mid-80s. But yeah. Wow, cool. Okay, well now, God, I can't believe we've only got 25 minutes left. So now we need to get into 1987 and on when Robert gave you the call.
Okay, so Hush broke up in around 1985. Robert put together Robert Barry Band that we were kind of working on playing Robert's original songs live. And then Robert, through a series of contacts that he had made, he ended up moving to England to do some songwriting with Steve Howe. And, you know, I don't know all the full details and I'm probably getting stuff wrong, but I think the original motivation for going over there was to write songs with Steve Howe for GTR.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, through that whole community, he ended up meeting Carl Palmer, and then subsequently met Keith, and the three of them decided to put together this band called Three. So they recorded a record, and sometime in 1987, probably the fall of 1987, and I remember this pretty clearly, mm-hmm. I was at a Giants baseball game with my dad. I think I called home to listen to my answering machine. You know, back mm-hmm. then you had to, you know, punch in a code. I called home to listen to my answering machine. And there's this message, "Hey, Paul, this is Robert. Give me a call when you get home." So go home, call Robert in England. And he goes, "So this band Three, we're going to do this tour next year in early 1988. And I think you would be a good fit to play the guitar because the record had bass, drums, and keyboards, like, you know, the standard lineup that Keith and Carl were used to working with in ELP, but Robert's production adds a lot of guitar stuff to it. So mm-hmm. he wanted to make sure that there was a guitar on the tour as well. And I thought, oh yeah, that'd be great. Where do I audition and stuff? And he goes, "Well, it's probably not going to work that way. I just need to kind of talk to Keith and Carl and let them know that, you know, you're the right guy." So, it was probably a couple months later that he called me and said, "You know, well, you're in. So start learning this stuff." So I think between January of 1988 and probably March, I was had a day job, but I was woodshedding when I got home, just making sure that I knew the material backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. And probably in late February, I quit my day job, and the month of March was when we started formal rehearsals. I think it was supposed to be a full month of rehearsals, but it worked out to maybe 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. it was pretty interesting going to Robert's studio and seeing both Keith and Carl's mammoth amounts of gear inside the studio. And a lot of time was spent tweaking the gear and not really playing. it was great. It worked out really well. They seemed to like me, and Keith and I went out a couple nights together, had some fun, and it was pretty amazing time.
Yeah, he seems like he was a really nice guy. And so it was a 45 city tour that you guys did in the U.S., correct?
That's right. Yeah, we started out in New York, and it's a lot. It was a lot. It was, most weeks it was either five nights or six nights. And then there was a lot of driving in between. And we went from Poughkeepsie, New York, to the West Coast and back through the South and ended up in Fort Lauderdale.
For the last show of the tour. Well, I think it's a good time now to play the song I have queued up from the Live 3 album, Three Live in Boston. And it's called Runaway, and Robert wrote that one. Do you want to tell us anything about that song before we get started, or do you want to just talk about it after I play it?
I'll just say a few things.
Okay.
Robert had originally written a song called Runaway in Hush. When Hush broke up, he revised the song and recorded it and ended up on a movie called something like Out of Bounds or something. That could be the wrong name, with Anthony mm-hmm. Michael Hall. And it was a cool scene where he's driving down the street and that song is on his car radio. And Three, he revised it further again to fit with, the instrumentation of that band. I sing the background vocals on this. This was one that Robert and I always kind of did a pretty, pretty cool harmony vocal to.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that. Okay, well, the song's about 5 minutes long, so I'm going to get started playing that, and then we can talk about it some more after the show, okay? I mean, after the, cool. Listen to me after the show, after the song.
Yeah.
So what else do you have to say about that song, Paul?
Well, it brings back some memories. I listened to that arrangement, and it's entirely different than what we did in previous versions, and probably his best version of it. You know, Robert's become kind of a master of arranging, producing, and kind of coming up with all kinds of parts, as will be noted, you know, both on the 3.2 album that was released last year,
mm-hmm.
and the arrangements of the songs that we'll be doing later this year.
Yeah, so the 3.2 album came out last year, I think it was in August, and it's gotten such good response that then Robert decided to put together this U.S. tour for 3.2. And so tell us a little bit about that, about who's going to be in it besides you and Robert, and when it's going to get started.
Okay, so informally it's already started. We're all independently working on the material, you know, as a path to doing formal rehearsals probably in early September. The other
mm-hmm.
members of the band are Andrew Collier, who's a really accomplished keyboard player from New York, and I'm totally looking forward to playing with him. Very, very impressed with his skills. Plus, he has the hardest job in the band because a lot of the keyboard parts that either Robert played or Keith played are incredibly challenging. What Robert did on the 3.2 album, you know, not only from a songwriting perspective, but the way he focused on the keyboard playing to give, you know, to kind of give props to his friend Keith.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing, and it's really quite touching. When the first time I listened to that record, I was like, you know, I first met Robert when he was a keyboard player, and he was really great. But what he's done now, it's just phenomenal. So
it is
Andrew
amazing. It's the way his fingers go over the keys in that 3.2 album and some of the songs. It's like I can't even picture how fast his fingers must have been moving.
Yeah. And so Andrew will be tasked with that. And, you know, I've heard some of Andrew and I have been, you know, texting back and forth with like little parts that we're playing to make sure that we're kind of in sync here. And I've heard some of the stuff he's doing, and man, it's miraculous. The drummer is a drummer out of Los Angeles named Jimmy Keegan. I met him when we all got together for a brief afternoon, probably late last year. Great guy, great drummer. He's been playing in a band called Spock's Beard for a while, a progressive band, and he's doing a number of other things. The guy's really busy, gets a lot of work. So really looking forward to the four of us all playing together.
I'm really looking forward to it, too, and I'm hoping that you guys will do a show in the Bay Area. So far, I think L.A. is the closest that you have to hear. Is there going to be one in San Jose or San Francisco?
There are rumors. I'm still not getting complete details on all the dates and all the places, but there are rumors that we may be doing Club Fox in Redwood City and a place called Michael's on Main in SoCal.
What was that?
Oh, Michael's on Main in SoCal. But I don't know if those dates are confirmed, but those were two places Robert had mentioned to me a couple weeks ago. And that would
okay.
be probably early September.
And people can find out by going to the Facebook page for 3 Emerson Barry Palmer, and also the 3.2 page that's on Facebook, and also at www.robertberry.com to find out once they do solidify the dates of the tours and where they're going to be and to get the tickets. And you guys are also
yeah,
going to be playing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you continue.
You guys are going to also be playing at Progstock That, I think, was one of the first for sure ones that got set up.
That's right. And I believe that's a three-day event, and we're playing the first night, Friday night. I think it's October 10th. It's in Rahway, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be massive. Really, really big thing. Oh, my gosh, Paul, what a musical journey, and it's still continuing, and it's going to be amazing to see what the tour is like. And then Robert, of course, wants to have it go all over the world at some point, and I can picture that happening in 2020. Wouldn't that be a cool date to have for the tour of the world is 2020?
Yeah, that would be quite amazing. I think the first go round is kind of, you know, getting our feel for playing together as a foursome, and see what awaits in 2020 after that.
Yeah, we just need to wait and see. But I have a feeling it's going to be magical. I have a feeling you guys are going to have so much fun together, and because you're going to have fun together, people will have fun listening to it as well. We've got about just over 8 minutes left. Do you want me to go ahead and play On My Way Home from the 3 Live? I have that queued up as well, or do you want to just keep talking?
Either way, that's a great song. That was a really cool song we can probably not play it, but I just want to mention that the whole thing about playing with three was, I kind of expected to come on the bus, sit by myself, just not get in anybody's way, play my parts. But really early on, Keith started saying, hey, you know what would sound really good? And he'd like say, you should play a guitar solo at the end of this song, which was like, wow, that's really cool. So On My Way Home had a guitar solo that I threw together probably the week before the tour. So if you want to go ahead and play that would be cool.
Oh, okay. And you guys are going to play some of the Emerson, Barry, Palmer songs and also some Yes. And what else during the tour?
The set list is going to consist of some of the stuff from 3.2, some three songs, plus some arrangements of known progressive rock songs that Robert in his various projects rearranged. So there's a rather wild arrangement of Roundabout by Yes, an arrangement of A Watcher of the Skies by Genesis that actually all the members of Hush recorded with him on.
Uh-huh.
There's a song, a rearranged version of Minstrel in the Gallery. So they're really cool arrangements that sound something like the original song, but have enough differences in to kind of sense Robert's whole feel in them.
Yeah. Well, we have 6 minutes left, so let's go ahead and play the song because I want to hear. You've got me curious now about that part at the end, so I better start it right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow, we've only got a minute left, Paul. So what do you want to say as the last thing you say to our audience today?
Well, all I want to say is thank everybody for joining. As I listen to that song and hear Keith playing, it kind of chokes me up because nobody played the keys like he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank my dear friend Robert for asking me to be a part of this part of his life.
Oh, I'm very thankful that he asked you to be a part of it too, and I'm thankful for having met the three of you back in 1974. And I'm excited about your new tour too. So thank you again for being on the show. Everybody listening, please share this show with your family and friends. Thank you, Paul, for living your music.
Thank you, and happy birthday, William.
Happy birthday, William. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.